T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
8:44, 16 before 9, flying through Wednesday morning, June 7th, another hot summer day. I got some Creole tomatoes yesterday, and I just love cutting them up, putting a little bit of salt on them, and going crazy, because it's a time of year for them, and the uglier it seems like, the better. But there could be a threat, maybe in the form of a disease from a soil bacteria. Let's find out more as we talk to Raj Singh, professor of plant pathology and crop physiology and director of the LSU Ag Center Plant Diagnostic Center. It's got to be Dr. Singh, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was. How you doing, all right?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm okay. Do you like Creole tomatoes?
Yes, I do. I just had some on a burger, and that they were delicious.
Why is it that the uglier ones seem to taste better?
I think it's just the genetics of that Creole tomatoes that make it more juicy, and you can harvest it when it's ripening on the vine, so that makes it more juicier.
I don't know.
And it has a sweeter taste to it rather than like a sour taste to the tomatoes.
All you got to do is wash it, cut it up, put a little salt on it, and I am in high heaven. Tell me what's going on, Doc, if you will, about the soil-borne plant disease and how it could affect the crop of tomatoes.
So what we have a situation with a soil-borne bacterium. It's called Ralstonia solanaceorum. The bacterium causes wilt in solanaceous crops, and the most common host for this bacterium are tomatoes, peppers, bell peppers, and eggplants, and other solanaceous crops, including some ornamentals. It's restricted to this group of crops. It doesn't go to your beans or corn or your winter crops. Mm. But it is very devastating disease on these crops because the bacterium can stay in the soil for extended period of time. So we have some soil samples in the diagnostic center that we test every year with an amino strip. It's an ELISA, serological assay. And it's still going strong, positive, for the last 5 years. And this is not in the garden. This is just sitting in our cooler where we store our samples. So with that said, there is no chemical control management for this pathogen available. So the commercial growers and home gardens, they are very limited on how to manage this disease. That is why it is very devastating once you're garden beds or your vegetable beds are contaminated with this bacterium. It's very hard to grow those solanaceous crops and year after year in the same piece of land.
Where did it come from, Doctor?
There are several possible pathways for the disease to enter into your garden beds or your vegetable beds. It can come on your contaminated seedlings if you're buying seedlings, and it can come on the soil. It can come on the contaminated tools. So there are several pathways for the disease to enter into your landscape. Once it's inside your vegetable bed, then the irrigation water, like the water flowing into your bed, that is the source of the pathogen moving from one plant, one infected plant, to the next healthy plant, and so on.
Did it come from another country or something, or did it just develop as a result of natural selection?
There are different strains of this pathogen. Some are more. There's one strain that we don't want to have, that strain here in the U.S. It, The name is R3B2, which is a cold-tolerant disease, okay? So we don't want it to go up north, because if you go up north, we have a good crop of potatoes that is also susceptible to this problem. So we don't want that. But this particular pathogen is endemic in the southern part of the United States. That's why the disease is called southern bacterial wilt. In case of Louisiana, we have seen this disease maybe like 20, 30 years ago, and it's still going on strong. But due to the environmental conditions, some years are worse than the others. So this year, the disease kind of like came in the middle of the growing season, which is not good for the growers because they are ready to harvest the first part of the crop. And that's when your plants start to wilt, and you won't be able to harvest any yield from your crops.
So it spreads like wildfire, I'm guessing, huh?
It can if you're not careful. This year, within like a couple of weeks, I received reports from our parish agents from all over the state. And it's on tomatoes, suckering on tomatoes and bell peppers, which are the two most common, I would say, vegetables that we consume here in Louisiana.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back. If you all have any questions about sudden, what are we calling it?
Sudden bacterial wilt.
Sudden bacterial wilt, 504-260-1870. It spreads pretty easily, and it can kill a plant within 3 days, I think, if you have it. So we'll talk about that when we come back, and about the what can you do? Because he said there's no chemical treatment, I don't think, available. So if you have it, does that mean you have to get rid of the soil that you have? And if that's the case, what happens if it hits a farm? 850, 10 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 855, 5 till 9, interesting conversation with Dr. Raj Singh, professor of plant pathology and crop physiology and director of the LSU Ag Center Plant Diagnostic Center. We're talking about sudden wilt.
It's bacterial.
Bacterial wilt. How can I leave that part out? So let me get to the listeners, a couple of questions that are coming in. Are the tomatoes safe to eat from roadside cellars?
Yes, they are safe because it is not a human pathogen, and it doesn't affect the fruit. It affects the vascular bundles of the plant where the water is flowing. So the bacterium clogs those channels, and the water is not flowing through those channels and causes the plants to wilt. But if you have green tomatoes, and if you like to have fried green tomatoes, you can use those tomatoes as that. Or if you have ripened fruit tomatoes on the affected plants, you can still use those. You can still consume those fruits.
So basically, it clogs the irrigation system within the plant itself, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Exactly.
All right, somebody texted, and it's fully safe to eat for humans. No concern there because it's not a human pathogen.
It's not a human pathogen. And it doesn't go into the fruit of the plant. It just stays in that lower stem where the water is flowing through. It clogs those PVC pipes where the water is flowing.
Wait. Are we talking metaphor here, or are we talking about actual?
Exactly, the metaphor.
Metaphor, because okay, that's what I was checking.
Yeah, some people don't understand what vascular bundles contain, a xylem channel and a phloem channel. So
right.
A xylem channel where the water is flowing from the roots up to the top canopy, and the phloem is where the food is coming from, the leaves to the roots.
Somebody wants to know if soil solarization will help rid the bacteria.
It is one of
and what is that, doctor? By the way, for us that don't know.
Okay. So it is one of those culture practices that we recommend, especially for home gardeners, because they are very limited on the piece of the land that they can do their vegetable gardening. So soil solarization is actually cooking the soil, the infected or the contaminated part of the land with the sun rays. So what you do is, you till the land, you level it, and you put a tear plastic on top of it. And you can also add water on top of the plastic so that there is water standing on the top of the plastic. And then just let the sun cook that part of the soil during the summer months. Now, it won't completely get rid of the bacterium, but it will reduce the population of that bacterium in the upper soil layer. So let's say we need 10 million bacterial cells to cause the disease. So the sun rays will reduce it to the population where it is unable to cause the disease. But it's not going to get, it can't, so soil fertilization cannot eradicate the pathogen. And with other culture practices, that's the goal, that reduce the population of the bacterium to a level that is unable to cause the disease, and then you can have tomatoes maybe every other year, or peppers every other year.
This seems like it would be a tomato farmer's worst nightmare, that it would decimate a farm. Accurate or not?
To some extent, yes, but it's not a total loss, because some of our commercial growers, they have dealt with this disease before, so they are very knowledgeable, and they know how not to contaminate new piece of the land. So they do all these cultural practices like crop rotation with the non-host, like sweet corns or beans or winter crops, and then taking another piece of land where they can grow tomatoes, but they are not going to use that piece of land just for monoculture of tomatoes.
Doctor, we're about out of time. Is there a website where people that grow their own tomatoes can go to learn more about this?
We have the lsuagcenter.com website. So if you go there and you search for tomatoes, tomato production, we have the home vegetable gardening and the commercial vegetable gardening guide on available online.
Thank you, sir.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.